Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You're listening to The Tillage Podcast with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, and you're very welcome to this week's Tillage Podcast. I'm Siobhan Walsh, recording on Wednesday the 6th of March. It's afternoon time for your records later on grain price. Coming up on this week's show, we have the results of a land price survey carried out here at the Irish Farmers Journal. We have news on acres, boort malt, an interview with a farmer on minding our endangered birds, as well as the grain price and weather reports, as always. Now, look, there's no point saying anything else at the start of the podcast. The weather is just awful at the minute, particularly for tillage farmers who, look, we're in March now. This time last year, there was a good lot of crops sown, and those were the good crops of the year, those early sown crops, those February sown crops. While people were worried about sowing them, they were the crops that performed best last year. So we're into March now, the 6th of March, and weather is just awful. Land is wet. Some fields you just can't go into, most fields at the minute. But we're at the stage now where, look, we mightn't be able to go out and sow spring crops, but the winter crops that are there are desperately in need of fertiliser. So it's coming to the stage, look, we're just going to have to go out on those tramlines, obviously, if we can go out on them. Some places I know are swamps and you won't be able to travel at all. But if you can travel, I think the time just has come now to go out with the fertiliser and sprays as well. Get your grower eggs and some of the weed sprays out if you can. And as well, just to get some of that work out of the way. So when we are able to get planting for springtime, that some jobs are done. Look, get your fertiliser and your seed ordered if you haven't already, so you have it in place. But I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot going on for tillage farmers at the minute. While we can't get out to the fields, you know, farmers are worried at the minute, and I think it's important to say on the podcast that, you know, we're all in the same boat. The sector is going through a rough patch, but we don't know what way things will go. Grain prices are down at the minute, but could well move back up by harvest, and no doubt will go up and down as we get towards harvest. So we can't be too pessimistic at the minute. It would certainly help if we had a bit of help from government. We need the minister to come out on the tree crop rule. I'm getting calls the whole time there, especially from merchants, farmers asking them, is the tree crop rule still there? Are we going to have to comply with it? If the minister is going to announce it, he needs to announce it soon. And, you know, people, I suppose, worried that, you know, at the minute they're complying with that rule, even though it's a struggle on a lot of farms to do so and it's not making economic sense to do so. But they're kind of saying, look, the minister will probably announce this maybe later. And we can't say the minister will announce it, but if the minister does announce it as we get into the middle and end of March, I mean, that's just ridiculous. The decision should have been made long ago and needs to be announced ASAP. OK, look, we'll move to news. On the news pages this week, plenty of tillage news in the paper. The The first one there is Pat O'Toole was at the Guinness Malting Barley Awards and the Bort Malt Awards, a joint affair. And John Lancaster from Cranford in County Wexford took home the Perpetual Cup this year at those Bort Malt Guinness Malting Barley Awards. So that's good to see. Pat has a piece in the paper there about Bort Malt's plan to expand. So Peter Nallan, the Bort Malt Chief Operations Officer, announced plans for a substantial expansion to the Atai Maltings. So people will remember that they built a new Bugler plant for distilling barley a few years ago. So I think that's to be expanded and possibly another one built on as well. And very much linked to Diageo's planned brewery in Newbridge to keep filling that brewery with barley. So that's on the news pages. Also on the tillage pages this week then, we have results from a land price survey that we carried out. So I sent out that survey on the tillage newsletter and also through some WhatsApp. So look, it was targeted at tillage farmers. So the data that you see on the tillage pages of the paper this week is all from tillage farms. So either specialised tillage farms or mixed tillage farms. And there's a really good breakdown in size of those farms. You can see that on the pages. So it's 38 and 39 of this week's paper. So a mix of farms, but the majority of farms, look, 30% of the farms are between 50 and 100 hectares in size. And 27% of the farms are between 101 and 200 hectares in size. So that's kind of the run of who's taking part in the survey. And then a big mix of the amount of land that's rented across farms. So 12% of people renting 10% or less. And then 12% renting 50 to 60% of land, 12% renting 60 to 70%, and 12% renting 70 to 80% of their land. Sorry, 19% of respondents then rent 10 to 20% of their land, and 12%, 20 to 30%. So large differences across farms. And then we ask people what's the price that they pay for land. So the majority of people were paying €250 per acre for land or less. So that was the mark. There was some people paying, I think it was 41% were paying between 200 and 250. And then 8% said that they pay less than €150 per acre. 4% pay €300 to €400 per acre. But then we asked farmers what they're willing to pay. And look, it was kind of the same results. The majority of people said that they weren't willing to go over that 250 mark. So 32% of farmers said they were willing to pay between 150 to 200, 44% between 200 and 250, and 19% said 250 to 300. So similar to what they're paying at the minute. But then as we go on further, people are losing their leases. So, and look, you can look the full results on the paper. I'm not going to give you all the results here, but the reason they're losing their leases then is because they're being outbid. They're not willing to go over that mark. That's good and bad. Obviously, it's bad that we're losing land to tillage, but it's good in that tillage farmers know when to stop. They're not just carrying on bidding in order to get the land. They know that they're going to lose money on those crops if they go too high on the lease price. The majority of farmers said that they're losing the land that they're losing to dairy farmers. The dairy farmers are winning out on the bidding. And unfortunately, 20% of farmers in 2024 have either lost rented land already or think that they'll lose land in 2024. So look, this kind of backs up what was said last week. Unfortunately, you know, last week we had figures from industry that said 20 to 30,000 hectares of land would leave tillage in 2024, and certainly these figures from the land leasing survey seem to be backing that up now. And you know, another sign, another message to government that something needs to be done. There needs to be an intervention to stop the loss of land from tillage, and that obvious thing is to give tillage farmers support in the same way that organics and forestry are getting support. And very clear from the farmers who took part in the survey, you know, a payment is dangerous. We don't want a payment to end up inflating land prices. But at the end of the day, the tillage sector at the minute needs support, and it needs it urgently. It doesn't need it. I know the Food Vision Tillage Group were to meet today, that's the last time they should meet ahead of the handing over of the report to Minister McConlogue. You know, that report, it's just taken so long. Action is needed in the tillage sector. It was needed when that group came together, not to mind when the report was published. More on the tillage pages on maximising your yield in your aliseed rape crops and learning to deal with GAIs, green leaf area index and growth regulators as well. Also on the news pages this week then, so the government have made some changes to acres and good news, they've rowed back and tried to make some sense of some of the things that have been happening in acres. So they have rowed back on the overwinter stubble in acres. So basically, overwinter stubble in nitrates means that you don't cultivate your stubble, and this is in order to have a habitat for endangered birds. But overwinter stubble, as we've said many times in the paper and on this podcast before, overwinter stubble in acres actually meant that you cultivate stubble. So the department have now changed this. So overwinter stubble now in acres can be, you have two options. You can either leave the stubble uncultivated or you can cultivate the stubble within 14 days of harvest. And then either way, that has to be left there in situ until the 1st of February. So either as a habitat for the birds or to as a water quality measure, but certainly bringing the two back in line so that there is some confusion between what overwinter stubble is. Another change, there was 5 species added to the prescribed list. So another 2 clovers, mustard, radish, and the rape kale hybrid has also been added. So some of you will know, you know, gorilla as an example. The seed mixes then, they just clarified, needs to be at least 2 species in a mix, and 1 species, you're only allowed 1 species at 60% of the full rate. So they've given the full rates in the acre specifications, and then you work out your mix according to that. But one, you know, you can't have any more than 1 species, sorry, at 60% of the rate. Look, that doesn't apply for now. We still have to plant crops to go in before those catch crops, but all the same, it was announced this week, so we better tell you. In connection with that then, we have a contributor this week on the Sustainable Farm Insights page of the paper. Birdwatch Ireland's John Lusby has wrote a piece on overwinter stubble and birds and protecting habitats, and calling for more joined up thinking on rules around nitrates and biodiversity. So really, really glad to have John contributing to the paper this week. And then on that topic, so we published the results of an East Cork bird survey back a few weeks ago, and we talked about it on the podcast. So back when we were looking into that, I had a chat with Paul Moore, and Paul Moore is a tillage farmer just outside Middleton in County Cork. We featured him on the paper before, and Paul's a member of Birdwatch Ireland, and he was heavily involved in that survey in East Cork. So we chatted to Paul about all things birds, about the results of that survey and just changes and things that we can do on our farms to improve and try and help those endangered bird populations. So I really enjoyed my chat with Paul. So here you go. Paul Moore, thanks very much for joining us on the podcast this week, Paul. Just for our readers, some of our readers might remember you were featured on the tillage pages before. We did a feature just as the stubble cultivation rules for nitrates were coming in, I think it was, Paul.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Things were changing at that stage. Yeah, so that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, so a few weeks ago on the paper, we ran a survey on, just to give our readers a bit of background. So we ran the results of a survey that was carried out in South Cork, which you were involved in, on the effect of these double cultivation rules on bird populations. So just to recap, the department brought in new nitrates rules. These rules required farmers to, or still require farmers to, cultivate stubble within 14 days of harvest. And that cultivation, of course, is to create a green cover and hopefully take up nutrients and help to improve water quality. But when the department brought these rules in, they didn't realise that overwinter stubble is actually a really important habitat for birds and endangered birds at that, and then seed-eating birds as well. So the department changed the rules then to say that you leave 20 to 25% of your cereal area uncultivated to provide a habitat for the birds. But as we all know, our tillage area has declined. Our cereal area has declined. So 20 to 25% of that area left for spring cereals isn't really a whole lot of habitat left for those birds. So these rules, Paul, they're still a major concern for bird populations in Ireland.
Yeah, Siobhan, yeah, they are. I suppose like that figure of 2025 kind of came from surveys and studies in England, where obviously there's a lot more arable in the landscape. It's very small here, so it's not really comparable.
So the 20 to 25% percentage is a bigger area than it would be here in Ireland.
I suppose, you know, when it came in first, when it was introduced, it was 100% of stubble soil that they wanted cultivated. And I think, in fairness, it was Birdwatch Ireland who kind of flagged at first that, look, hang on a second here, kind of, what are you doing? So when, you know, the issue was raised, I suppose, and there was a bit of confusion, it changed 20-25%. And I think, to be honest, in my experience from doing the survey, that there's still a lot of confusion that people, you know, trying to incorporate or trying to work out how much land you should leave. You know, when you might have cover crops, you might have winter cereals, all this kind of stuff. There's a lot of confusion there that some people are just kind of shallow cultivating everything, I think. Just to be on the safe side, shall we say. So it's a bit messy, I suppose. And the results of this study show that, you know, it's probably not working for birds, and I'm not even sure it's working for in terms of improving water quality either, given, you know, it's a very hit and miss, the shallow cultivation thing, whether you will get any green cover or not.
Yeah, if you take this year and last year, like this year, it wasn't a good idea to be going out and doing that cultivation on wet ground. And then last year it was too dry to do it. And we were effectively putting phosphorus up into the air and burning a lot of diesel for nothing. So certainly lots of questions about these rules. But anyway, Paul, look, you were involved in a survey. You might tell us how this survey came about and who was involved.
I suppose I had the idea of trying to do this survey because the previous year we had done a breeding bird survey, in East Cork, south in East Cork, so kind of Yalt, Carrigaline, I suppose, okay. you'd think. That had been funded by CCAD, they're a local development company, and Irish Distillers provided funding as well.
Yeah.
And we'd kind of got, look, birds have always been an interest of mine. I suppose some people are into GA, I'm into birds.
Yeah.
We used our contacts in Derrygold and Teagasc here in East Cork then to just find farms. They publicised it for us, the previous survey and this one. And that's how it came off the ground, sort of thing. So there was a couple of papers out of that original breeding bird survey from the previous year. So when this double cultivation measure came in, I kind of went back to the two sponsors and said, look, this could be really bad for farmland birds. And that's really how it came about. Sort of, they came behind it, Birdwatch Ireland came behind it a bit. We found a lead surveyor, Dr. Alan Mee. And again, so we went back to...
He's a private consultant.
He's a private consultant, ecologist. And we got a team together. Went back to to Derrygold and Teagasc to publicise us, and we had a huge uptake from farmers. We actually had more farmers contact us to wanting surveys done than we could actually get to
in the time
allowed. So it was great to get that kind of response.
Yeah. And the results then, Paul, so I suppose how you went about it then, sorry, first of all, so you had different types of land that to see where the birds were feeding or were having a habitat.
So we found 80 square kilometres we covered. So that involves walking a 1 kilometre track through a square kilometre, noting you know, what the habitat is in, what kind of farmland it was.
So it
might
be grass, or it could be grass, wild bird cover,
stubble, bird cover, cover crops, shallow cultivation. Those are the ones we focused on. We didn't do winter cereals because there was just too much work involved in.
Okay.
And there was enough involved in that. So we did 80 square kilometres. You walk a line of 1 kilometre length in each of those squares. And that's the scientist's job then to get the data out of that, to get the results.
Okay.
And I mean, the results were pretty clear. in that, just looking at him here, like stubble, you know, the traditional idea of stubble, as in you harvest your crop, you take the straw off, and you close the gate until the following spring. That's the kind of stubble we're talking about.
Just to clarify, because people might be confused, because overwinter stubble in acres actually means that you cultivate the ground, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So overwinter stubble that we're talking about in this survey, so there's overwinter stubble, which isn't cultivated, and then there is cultivated stubble that would be done under the nitrates rules. So that uncultivated stubble, Paul, contains, you know, grain that's left after the combine behind the row of straw, or a bit that's spilled out of the tank or didn't make it into the trailer. And there's a clear line of sight to all that feed as well, which is important too.
Yeah. And I mean, just to go back to acres, I mean, originally it was the uncultivated stubble, but it changed at some point in the specs to become the shallow cultivated stubble. I guess the department just decided this, you know, water quality is more important than family and birds, to be blunt about it. So. So birds, I mean, it's long been known, you know, and in bird studies and stuff like that, that stubble is a really important habitat for a whole host of different birds. Because, as you said, grain spilt, or there might be weed seeds, or you know, things like groundsel and stuff that will grow in stubble. And probably the invertebrates as well, you know, the insects that are feeding on things like that, or on the wild plants. That's what we mean by stubble. And the longer it goes on into the new year, into the spring, the better it is. So I suppose, you know, and one of the things this study reinforced, that you get birds using it over the winter, but then as the winter goes on, resources get scarce and birds are kind of wandering, and you've got what's called the hungry gap. So in terms of birds, so if you think of it in a farming perspective, you're doing your maintenance and machinery over the winter, you're getting ready for the spring because you're going to be busy. Well, birds come early spring or late winter, they're really desperate for food because they're trying to get into breeding condition to start nesting, you know, in kind of March, April.
Yeah.
And so you've got this gap of where, you know, there might be ploughing going on, or seed resources are just getting scarce. And that's the critical time for birds, is that late winter, early spring time, when they really need things like winter stubble. So that was one of the findings of it, that it became more important really as the winter went on.
And that's why stubble. The date is to leave the stubble in place until February.
I suppose, the longer you can leave it, the better. I mean, if winter stubble, actual winter stubble, was a measure in an agri environment scheme, you know, it could be a results based, as in the longer you leave it untouched, the better.
And that would also be more practical from the farmer point of view, because I know that 1st of February date is frustrating a lot of people at the minute. And again, lack of understanding from the department as to when people get work done, because, you know, tillage is a sector that's declining. And if we've part-time farmers or whatever, or someone who's getting a contractor in to do work and there's an opportunity to plough before the 1st of February, then, you know, we should probably allow that to happen. So, as you said, that results-based, leaving it longer and getting paid more, could be a really good option.
Yeah. And even stubble that's sprayed off, if it's sprayed off, you know, early in the new year, I know you're trying to avoid a green cover or a green bridge, you know, for disease and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But stubble can still retain its value, or some value, because the seeds obviously aren't affected. The seeds that are on the ground, they're still there. They're not affected by spraying. So, you know, it still retains value even into after that. It's an interesting one. Look, I suppose there hasn't been an awful lot of work done, an awful lot of studies done on bird use of farmland habitats like that in Ireland. You're really in an awful lot of cases, you're relying on stuff from Europe or the UK.
Which is a problem. So the department brought these rules in without any research having been done. And as far as I understand, no research still done, or certainly not completed. I think Chagas are to start research on it soon. But that, as someone, Paul, who has a keen interest in birds and bird watching and habitats, it must be very frustrating to see these rules brought in without that research being carried out.
Yeah, I mean, you would expect, you know, you do your research first and you base your measures or your strategy on the research. But it's the opposite here. As I said, Chagas are starting a project now, but I think that's a 5-year project. So, you know, we're going to be 5 years into shallow cultivations.
There could be a lot of birds lost between now and then.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a 45% decline, I think, in farmland birds in Ireland since, I think it's about the 1990s. So, you know, we're another 5 years on then, kind of thing. Mm. And it's like, and a lot of these birds, they're called the Birds of Conservation Concern Ireland. That's the, it's BOCCI, it's the acronym put on it. These are, you know, the most critically endangered, a lot of them, things like skylark, yellowhammer, stock dove, even, you know, but birds are eating the insects, but then it's kind of odd. You've got the things that eat the seeds, but you've also got the things that eat the seeds. So you've got birds of prey like barn owls, merlin, even hen harriers in winter. There are some indications that hen harriers, so hen harrier, like, it's one that's, it's often in the news, it breeds up in the moorlands and mountains and things like that. But of the young birds that fly the nest, over 80% of them are dead within the first 12 months. So again, there's been very little study done on them, but what studies have been done, there are indications that that the ones that find arable habitats do better, simply because there's more prey there. They're eating small rodents, they're eating the birds. They just seem to find it easier to hunt in arable habitats and to find food in arable habitats. So you've got a bird that, you know, like, does an EIP. It was 25 million on, focused on the breeding areas, but it's completely ignored where they go for the winter, which in many cases is down on the arable habitats. So, you know, there's a lot of things depend on arable habitats and stubble and cereal growing.
So we'll just get into that a little bit more now, Paul. And that's, yeah, really important that you mentioned as well, you know, the mice come and eat the grain or whatever in the field, and the owl eats the mouse. We have to think of this as a whole chain. But if I look at the results here, so we have, if we look at all birds, cover crops are taking in all birds, and stubble or uncultivated overwinter stubble then is following really close behind. But then we go to birds of conservation and seed-eating birds, and by far and away, uncultivated overwinter stubble has huge amounts of birds compared to grassland or winter stubble or cover crops. And I'm just taking, if we take skylark, linnet and yellowhammer, and they're the birds I think the farmers will be familiar with. You know, the bunches of skylarks that fly along with you when you're doing your machinery work. They're brown, Paul, aren't they, with a white belly, and they fly up and down in groups. Like 1,859 skylarks over the two survey days on stubble. And if we go to the stubble that was shallow cultivated, there's only 409 skylarks. If we take linnet, 542 on the uncultivated, 86 on the cultivated, and yellowhammer, which a lot of people will be familiar with as being endangered, 317 yellowhammer on the uncultivated stubble and only 34 on the cultivated stubble. I mean, this survey, I know it's only 1 year's data and we have to emphasise that, but it really shows you what these rules are doing to bird populations.
Yeah. I mean, look, the figures speak for themselves. And remember, with shallow cultivation, you know, there might be green cover established, but equally there might not. It could be quite bare, which would be useful for some birds. You know, things like skylark or golden plover even will, you know, they like a bare ground or fairly bare ground. So, you know, shallow cultivation isn't all just green cover. It's, you know, it's, some of it does retain its value, but not in terms of, I guess, in terms of promoting green cover and soaking up nitrates, but certainly in terms of its use for birds, it can be, it's very mixed. And yeah, like, cover crops, again, can be quite useful for some species. So I suppose, look, this does need more research is the one thing to come out of it. Just what kind of cover crops. You know, if you've got a brassica crop, you'll certainly have lots of wood pigeons in it from now on, sort of, that they'll be feeding on the leafy turnip and stuff like that. But it's also very good for birds like song thrush and stuff like that, because they're feeding on the slugs and snails that are eating the brassicas. So it's very varied, and it's quite complicated, I suppose. But, like, as you said, the figures speak for themselves, just how important stubble is and how poor shallot cultivation is in comparison.
Mm. Where to next, Paul? What do you want to see done?
I suppose you'd like to see the shallot cultivation rule paused or scrapped for now until there's the results. It may or may not be working for you know, soaking up nutrients. I don't know. I'm not qualified to talk on that. I strongly suspect from the results of this that it ain't working for birds. So, you know, creating one problem to solve another, you know, solving one problem by creating another isn't any kind of a solution, really. We'll only be in trouble. We've got legal obligations to protect farmland birds as well. And you don't do that by, you know, measures like this. So, yeah. Scrapping the shallow cultivation, you know, maybe cover crops is a better option. But again, that is expense for farmers, so that'll have to be covered in some way.
But cover crops, farm. Again, for those endangered birds, you look at skylarks, 1,859 skylarks on the uncultivated stubble, and then the cover crops, just 176 skylarks on the cover crops.
Not as good. Yeah.
It's a mix of both, isn't it? And it's a lot more research is certainly needed.
Yeah, I think so. And hopefully the target study will look at that. Paying farmers to retain stubble, uncultivated or unsprayed as long as possible into the spring, that would be, you know, as the acres originally was doing, that would be useful. The one that we didn't talk about, I suppose, because there was only a small number of plots in the survey area, was the wild bird cover in acres, or glosses it was.
Sorry,
at the time.
Yeah. Important to mention this. Yeah,
that is really important as well. And that should be incentivized more, to be honest, because it does seem to make a huge difference. And again, it's not just the seed-eating birds, because obviously you're sowing seeds for seed-eating birds mainly, but it's also really important for owls and birds of prey, because you've got the prey items that they eat in it as well. Mm. So I know it did go up, the rate did go up slightly in acres. It should go up a lot more, you know, even to make it attractive for grassland farmers even to incorporate it. You know, none of these birds as the results of this will show, you don't find them in grassland areas because there aren't any seeds by and large. Mm. So if you could encourage, make it attractive for grassland farmers to put in wild bird cover, it could make a huge difference to farmland bird populations and the declines.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Paul. Well, look, Paul, thanks for joining us. Certainly balance needed somewhere along the line, and definitely more research needed and possibly a pause needed on these stubble cultivation rules. Thanks very much, Paul.
No problem. Thanks very much, Yvonne.
Thanks so much to Paul for joining us. Great to have him on. Great to have a farmer perspective on that, of course, as well. Now to grain prices. And look, not much good news to bring you on grain markets, but oilseed rape looks to be improving. So look, unfortunately, wheat prices fell again this week. At the end of last week, they were down €3. It came up slightly this week again, but when I looked at my phone there before the podcast, it had actually returned to around Friday's price. So that was €206.75 per ton. I'll just double check on the app. Now where we are, so Wednesday afternoon, it's 25 to 5, so it's in France it's 25 to 6, so yeah, 206.25, so it's actually down a little bit on Friday's price after that lift there on Monday and Tuesday. That's the December price. Oilseed rape then, on the other hand, oilseed rape did increase, recovered last week, so it had dropped and it came back up last week to €421.75 per ton, so that was up €6.50 on the week before, and then it increased again this week. It was at €426.25 on Tuesday evening. That's the November price, and it's still there as I look at the app now. Malting barley, that physical price for malting barley, so that's the 2024 price, it's kind of the spot price, that's at €260 now. But then if we look at the price for 2024 harvest barley, so new crop, that's at €240 today, I think it was at this morning. So certainly looks like there's a bit of demand for spot malting barley at present, if you had it. Okay, look, not much good news on grain market spot prices then. You're looking at around €200 per ton or below for barley, and then €210 or below for wheat. And maize imports are steady at €205 and soya at €520. On to the weather report, I think, now, and hopefully there's some better news in the weather. So I have it in from Met Éireann. Friday is looking like a mostly dry day overall, with some sunny spells developing after a generally cloudy start to the day. Temperatures, minimum temperatures of 1 to 5 degrees, that's overnight. And maybe milder then down south, 5 to 7 degrees. Forecast on Saturday, maximum temperatures of 7 to 11 degrees. Saturday is expected to be a cloudy day, especially across the east and south, with rain at times. And west and north will have a mix of cloud and bright spells, with some chance of patchy rain or drizzle. Sunday then, current indications for Sunday suggest a mostly cloudy day overall, with scattered outbreaks of rain and drizzle. Northeasterly winds will be mostly moderate in strength, temperatures of 7 to 10 degrees. And then over the next Monday to Wednesday, less windy, potentially drier, with a more settled start to the earlier days of next week seems probable, so it looks a little bit better. Possibility of further rain pushing in from the Atlantic by Wednesday, introducing a mild southerly airflow, but also the chance of spot flooding. Oh, jeepers. Okay, so Thursday and Friday, the rainfall looks pretty okay. Saturday, heavier, certainly in the east and southeast, and the same for Sunday. Rain everywhere Sunday in some shape or form. Monday and Tuesday look dry, and Wednesday definitely looks to be heavier rain. So look, there certainly is days there maybe that you will get out with the fertilizer spreader or the sprayer, and if you do get the chance, take it and ease the workload. That's it for this week. Thanks to you for listening. Thanks to Paul for joining us and taking the time to chat to us. Thanks to Claire and Jerome back at base for editing. Look, hopefully the weather improves. If you get out to the fields or whatever you're doing, stay safe and keep the tillage flag flying.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.